is Triple M's Rush Hour. The Bledisloe Cup is back. Wallabies versus All Blacks, September 15 at Marvel Stadium. Tickets from Ticketmaster.
There's few things the Rush Hour enjoys more than a Sunday session.
When you love to just knock the top off one.
And in this Sunday session,
we pour out the gold from JB and Billy.
You cannot turn your radio dial anywhere else.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good!
On Triple M.
Fat, very soon we are hitting the road.
Spot on, Jimmy boy. We're going to four country pubs across Victoria, and later this hour, we will tell you the first pub we're going to.
Oh, I can't wait to get one off the wood. There is nothing sweeter, except when I find out it's being taxed, especially at the Cremorne. Oh. We'll discuss that shortly.
Bloody Victorian government. We also chat to Jay-Z Clark about the latest revelations from Adelaide's Collective Mind Camp.
And next, we speak to Aussie cricket icon Justin Langer.
Our next guest scored nearly 8,000 test runs, including 23 centuries.
Oh, he's gone for it. This could be 100. This could be it. He's hit it for 6. What a way to go.
Then he coached Australia to a T20 World Cup win and two consecutive successful Ashes campaigns.
Oh, he's knocked him over! And Australia are 3-0 up and have won the Ashes!
You'll see him on 7 Cricket this summer. Please welcome Justin Langer.
Oh, the most sought-after signature, Fat.
Well,
both mobs charging hard at getting this man to be part of their coverage this summer, and Channel 7 are very proud to announce that JL will be one of the analysts for the upcoming summer. And Justin, that is magnificent news.
Yeah, I'm really excited, James. It's something I'm really looking forward to. I've been very, very lucky to have played Test cricket. I was lucky to coach the Australian Test team. Now to do it from another angle is going to be a lot of fun with some of my mates. So it's going to be, yeah, it should be a great summer.
And what will you be looking at specially? Do you, because we all, you know, JB calls it obviously, but what do you look in? Do you look at the stats, or what are you, how do you go about it, JL?
I think it was the great Richie Beno who said that don't tell the audience what they see, it's what they don't see. So, you know, I'm really lucky. I mean, I know the guys intimately, I know the game well. So hopefully I can share my thoughts, Bill, are the great commentators, the ones who just give you things that you maybe might surprise you a little bit. So I'm lucky to know the players well, and I know the game well. So fingers crossed it works out well.
No, perfect. Hey, what have you made of the Aussies so far in Sri Lanka and Pakistan?
Well, one, it was brilliant to see them playing in Pakistan. I think the last time they went was in 1998.
Yep.
I was on that tour. It's an amazing country to tour, but we haven't been back there for that much time. So the fact they were there, they would have been happy to win the Test series. What I always say about Test cricket is the wickets you play on, it must be a contest between bat and ball, and they were very flat there, but it was good to get the result. And then I'm sure, I haven't spoken to too many of them yet, but they'll be really disappointed to have lost that second Test in Sri Lanka. They won the toss and batted Australia. Sri Lanka are a young side. They've been hit by COVID. And then to lose that second Test, I'm sure they'll be disappointed. But again, a country that's struggling at the moment, it was good for the boys to be there.
You were in Pakistan the last time Australia played there, and the pitches were flat. So flat that Mark Taylor made 330. Which is unbelievable, and at the time, unfathomable.
It's a funny story, Brace, because the day after, all my mates started calling me Arthur Morris.
Yes.
And not because I was as good as Arthur Morris, but I happened to be a left-hand opening batter, but Arthur Morris, the great Arthur Morris, used to tell the story. He would get up and speak, and people would say, "Were you there the day Sir Donald Bradman scored a duck in his last game?" And he says, "Yes, I was. In fact, I scored 197 not out that day." Not that anyone remembers.
Not one person.
So Mark Taylor gets 334. That was my first Test 100 league after 8 years of play. That was my first. Not that anyone remembers any of that.
No.
So my mates all called me Arthur Morris after that because they remembered Mark Taylor and Don Bradman, but certainly not he or I. Yeah,
no. And that's it, what it was typical of Mark Taylor and how selfish he was.
No.
Like,
no.
He didn't want to get past Sir Donald Bradman's score, so he declares and made it all about himself.
Mate, he was a beauty, Mark Taylor. And like you said at the time, I'm not sure he was seeing him as well as he would have liked.
No.
But then to peel off 334 in a test match, what a great achievement.
Just looking at JL's top score, 250.
Yes.
Who was that against, JL?
England.
Well, probably against Brayshaw. Yeah.
Well,
so that's right.
So 250 against the Poms. And then balls bowled, six.
No, couldn't.
You actually bowled an over in test cricket, did you?
I bowled one over, and it was the famous test where we bowled all day and Rahul Dravid and VVS Lakshmi. Oh. We've won 16 straight test matches.
Yes.
We were on the verge. We'd ordered the Havana cigars and the whatever we could get to celebrate. We had Tendulkar out the night before. We're about to win our first series in India for the first time in 40 years. We're about to go 17 straight test matches. VVS and Rahul Dravid batted all day, and I bowled the last over of the day. Probably the worst over ever bowled in Test cricket, but at least I've bowled in Test cricket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And also 73 catches and a stumping in ODIs.
Yeah, I know, mate. The things you do, mate.
What happened there?
Mr. Adaptable. Bill, Mr. Adaptable. I reckon. Just give me a job and I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it is, I'll bowl for you the last day, Tugger, or I'll take the gloves if you want, AB, whatever you like. Just Mr. Adaptable, as easy as you like.
Bill,
And the stumping was off the late, great Shane Warne, I'll have you add. So not many people have been able to do that.
No. Would have been a run-out.
Stumping off Warney.
Would have fumbled it. Imagine that.
The bloke would have just kept going. It'll be a great summer, by the way. We've got the West Indies coming for the Test Series and then South Africa. That will be superb. And JL, we cannot wait to hear your dulcet tones throughout the summer.
It's going to be a great summer, guys. Thanks for the invitation, and we'll speak to you soon.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Blokes that have won the Brownlow before, like Robert Diplomenico and...
Robert who?
Diplomenico.
Beer tax.
Yes, Jim.
Coming.
A bloody un-Australian this. It happens once or twice a year. The government put up the tax on beer.
How?
Well, they can. That's how they make money. There's always a tax for something, Jim. So,
yeah, but beer is not something they should be taxing. Well, and clearly that tax is already in Western Australia.
Well, because they're very beer.
It's the most expensive beer you'll ever buy anywhere.
Well,
it's $15 for a glass.
Well, wait here, Jim, because you know what happens. The government bring it in, which goes to the brewery, which goes to the publican.
Oh, so you just pass it on.
Which goes to the poor old punter.
What's wrong with you absorbing some of those costs at the creamy?
Why? I've got to pay for a keg. It's gone up $4 a keg. So you've got to make some money somehow, Jim. So it goes to the poor old consumer. Right. That's what we're saying here.
So what's a pint going to be? $15?
Well, something like that, Jim. Yeah, and a schooner will be 10 or 11.
Just a draft over the tap, one off the wood.
And a pot.
$11.
A pot will be nearly $6.20.
Bill.
Jim.
That's daylight robbery.
Well,
from you.
It's un-Australian from
of
the state.
You charge that much for a beer.
Don't look at the poor old publican.
It's un-Australian of you to charge that much for a beer.
Don't look at the poor old publican. He's still got to put a tea on the table for the kids.
Does he?
At the minute, guess what they get? Rice and milk. That's
there'll be
it.
An uproar.
Rice and milk.
Your regulars, there'll be an uproar.
I'm telling you, they will. They won't be happy, the punters.
At you.
So I'm saying that's bloody Australian. So ring now, 1-3-3-3.
No.
Bloody un-Australian.
Un-Australian, that's better.
Yeah, it's bloody un-Australian.
Right. Dave's Bendigo. Hello, Dave.
I've just been working out some figures in my head about the price of beer going up. You said the barrels are going up $4.
Mm-hmm. Something.
Yes.
165 pots in a barrel.
Yes.
Works out to 2.4 cents per pot. How come they're going up so much?
Yeah, why are they going up so much?
Can't hear you, Dave. Sorry. A keg rise by $4.
Good math, Dave. Stay there, Dave. He wins something for me.
Definitely.
Jimmy's in Berwick. Hello, Jim.
Jim Dillon.
Fellas, how are we?
What did you just call him?
G'day, Jim. How are you?
Good, Fatty. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
The most un-Australian thing is rolling up to the MCG on a Saturday afternoon and only getting poured a mid-strength beer.
And you can only get full strength in the members, is that right?
Yep.
So why is that?
Or
the members are different, are they?
Glass. Comes in a glass and you can't take it out.
Right, or the corporate boxes, they got full strength.
I think they're a bit more posh than the rest of us.
Yeah. Righto.
Corporate box, Jimmy, they give you full strength.
Ever listen to Fat
Jimmy,
man of the people.
You've been into a corporate box, have you?
Oh, I haven't yet. You might have to take me, Bill.
Oh, no. No, it's full. Sorry, Jimmy.
Matty's in Endeavour Hills. Matty?
G'day, boys. 100%. The most un-Australian thing out there is putting up the price of Bunnings snags to $3.50.
Agreed.
Yes, good. Went from $2.50 to $3.50.
That's a big jump.
It is, Jim.
And a snag doesn't cost that much more at
Coles. Well, you get the bread.
Well, that doesn't cost that much
onion,
more
either.
Onion, oh, that don't cost that much
but
more.
But it also, it goes to a charity. Exactly. Every sausage they sell goes to some sort of charity, Jim.
$2.50 to $3.50 is a big jump. I'm with Matty.
But it's a good way to help our charity.
James in Bundoora. Jimmy?
Boys, how are we?
Good, good.
What's un-Australian?
Mate, the Cremorne Hotel down at Geelong. They only play bloody one game of football on, and you know, because old Bill here won't pay for two Foxtel boxes.
Is that what it is?
One game.
One game. We wanted to watch the Sydney game, and the punter said it's either the Sydney or the Magpies game, because apparently he doesn't want to pay for two boxes.
That is un-Australian.
It's very.
This is your joint.
It's expensive.
Well, so
Saturday day you're there and you want to watch. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. I would have thought you can watch VFL or something on the Channel 7.
Bill, pay the extra.
If I wanted to watch it on the phone, I would have stayed at home.
Well, yeah, get KO on. Sit there and have a pot and watch KO. That's the way to do it.
Fat.
Beautiful.
Fix up your joint.
I'm not. How much with beer tax and then if you have to buy two boxes, Jim? It's a big expense.
Well, boxes cost about $100 a month.
No, poor old publican is doing it tough.
Is he?
Doing it tough.
Yeah, you look like you're
I'm
doing
gonna
it
sell
tough.
Me house soon.
Oh, of course you do. Ron Ballarat, Ronnie.
A new one. Ron.
G'day, how you going?
Hey, Ronnie.
What's un-Australian today?
Yeah.
I got fish and chips at a place I normally don't get it, and I looked at the price board and I said, no, hang on, that's not right. He said, oh, you pay a dollar for your salt, mate.
No.
I guess you gotta be joking.
Charging your dollar for salt.
I paid a dollar for me salt on me fish and chips.
That's not good enough.
No,
Bill.
And that wasn't the packet of salt. It was he just put it on.
No, he just put it on and it was about 3 grains. I had to put salt on it when I got home.
The whole thing of salt doesn't cost a dollar.
No.
Let alone a shake.
So you're whinging about pots going up. Look at that. Dollar for a salt, Jim.
I love the fact that three different people have had a go at you about your joint.
Mm-hmm. You try and help them out, Jim.
Feedback is a privilege.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you collect unusual? Right. Salt and pecker. Oh.
If it's happening in footy.
Jeepers, have the headlines been coming thick and fast?
This man will be all over it.
Let's get Jay-Z in.
All right.
And talk footy.
On Triple M's Rush Hour.
He's going to try and get back out there.
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Jay-Z, nice to see you always. Yes. The camp for the Adelaide Crows. Hit this off the top.
Wow.
It is the gift that keeps giving for that place.
Yes.
Just when they think they've heard the last of it, another version of it smacks him in the face.
Yeah, it's been a harrowing 24 hours, hasn't it? I mean, it's almost been a hark back to the Essendon supplement scandal. I find this like just as devastating, as disappointing as anything we've seen in footy over the last 5 or 10 years, to be honest. But do you know what? Adelaide's apologised, right? They've said there's been failings, and they've come out and they said sorry, and everyone bar Mark Rashido has lost their job over this, I feel, right?
And one other board member.
Yes, right. But this goes up the chain. So the AFL, Jim, and their integrity unit, the AFL integrity unit, has somehow ticked this off. The AFLPA has ticked this off.
WorkSafe
SA has ticked this off. Now, they are kidding themselves, right? Now, Eddie Betts says he gave the AFL, the AFLPA, WorkSafe SA. The same information is in that book. Now, how can you, as any self-respecting body, have that information and that evidence and go all clear?
Yeah.
That is
so
fine.
What should have happened? The club dealt with it and they apologised. And as you say, most of the people involved lost their jobs. So I'm not sure what more they could have done.
Well, the AFL.
I mean, they might have done it quicker. It did take some time to get to that point.
They did pretend for a while that there was nothing to see here.
No, right? But they eventually got to the point where they apologised and dealt with it with a personnel situation within the club. So what those other bodies, what should they have done?
Well, I think they should have put the accountability on the club much earlier, made a much bigger issue of it, kept them accountable for the satisfaction of the players and their partners and their families who were hurt as part of the process. So when Eddie Betts comes out, and he's brought us as much joy and entertainment as any footballer for the past 10 years, you've called him sensationally for such a long time, Jim. When he says that I'm going to carry this hurt and this shame for the rest of my life, and that this took the joy and energy out of football for me, like, that is a serious burden on someone who has given us so much over the journey. So, and if it's taken him 4 years to get this off his chest and feel like he's being heard, how in the hell didn't the AFL and the AFLPA sit down with him and every other player and get the full account? Because when we hear, Bill, that the club says to the players, like Taylor Walker and Rory Sloan, who we have great respect for, when they say, you've got to answer the questions these ways, like that's essentially brainwashing those players. So they're
all going to follow the captain and text then, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. So like this is how you've got to talk to your wife or your mum and dad about what's happened here.
So the club said that to those two gentlemen?
Well, the camp.
Yeah.
But so what
are
you...
That's the allegations in the book.
Yeah, that's the allegations in the book. What credence do you give that Tex and Rory Sloan both independently said that they didn't have any problem with what happened?
They were reading from a script, Jim. They were reading from a script. And that's what's detailed in this book. In chapter 17 in Eddie Betts's book, he says that he watched the camp guys tell the players what they are to say. And then we've gone back over Taylor Walker's and Rory Sloan's quotes, and guess what? They are word for word the same as what they were told to say. Now, I think as a code and as a football body, we've got to be a lot better than that. Right?
Who gives these camp guys, as you said, I can't believe the power they have to take over a footy club.
Yep.
And I don't know if they were briefed.
The power they had.
Yep. They had.
Yep.
To take over a footy club. Yep. I don't know if they got briefed or by the club and saying, you know, these guys or this bloke and whatever. Mm. But they can't do surely some of this stuff.
Exactly.
Who gives them the power to just do whatever they want and embarrass, you know, people like that?
So over the off season, after they lost the grand final to Richmond, the Chiefs, so that's Dom Pike and that's Brett Burton, the footy manager, they say we need to be tougher, right? We need to stand up to the big moments. We need to have more resilience and be stronger of mind. Yeah. So then they outsource to the leadership specialist or the mind training specialist, and from there they come up with this program because they're essentially the experts. In this sort of stuff. But Jim or Bill, if you were, it's 40-year-old men. If you were watching any of this stuff, as Josh Jenkins said at the time, as Eddie Betts said at the time, you'd say, "This has got to be stopped." Surely you are kidding yourselves. Like, how is hurling abuse? So Eddie Betts speaks to a counsellor and reveals to that counsellor his deepest fears and most, you know, in
about his upbringing.
Yes, his most traumatic experiences. Yeah. And then imagine having everyone hurl abuse at you, and then someone jumps on your back and then brings up stuff about your mum and says, you're not going to be a good father because only your mum was around.
Yeah.
Like, does it get any worse than that?
With everyone else there.
With everyone else there. Yeah. So if at that point, whoever is running the show doesn't...
That's what I'm saying, mate. Like,
yeah. Like, it's as bad as it gets.
And this is only the first book that's come out, really, from that group, isn't it?
Bryce Gibbs was there at the time. Daniel Talley was there.
No, but I'm saying if there's any more books coming out, it'd be interesting. Yeah.
Well, that was the finishing question because we do have to get to the break.
Yep.
Will it just continue to come up forever, or will there be a line drawn in the sand where we go, all right, there's been an apology made. I'm not sure what else. Things should have been done better, but they weren't, but we can't fix that now. Yep. We just got to push on.
Maybe the players need the recognition and the acknowledgement, right? So with the Adam Goods thing, the AFL sort of try to ignore it, and then they eventually say, all right, we got this wrong. Mm. Maybe that needs to happen here, again, in the sort of Adelaide camp situation.
JB, Bill, it's a Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Plus he went down to Antarctic.
Yes.
He's
the Antarctic or Antarctica, Bill.
Oh, he went down to the Antarctic.
Right.
JB and Billy love an away trip.
So what we're calling you is road trip rattlers.
So we're going on tour.
They've been everywhere, man.
Thanks to our van RV, the Rush Hour hits the road.
Hit the road, fat.
For the largest range of caravan parts and accessories in Melbourne, check out ourvanrv.com.au.
So Monday, 15th of August.
Not far away.
We are going to...
Drum roll. San Remo Hotel, Jimmy boy! San Remo.
So Phillip Island way.
Well, on the bridge before Phillip Island. As you go across, San Remo's on this side. A nice little fishing village, Jim.
I see.
It's not the place in Italy, by the way. No. But a nice little hotel there. Beautiful country hotel. Ran by the Williamses. Pete Williams. He is the licensee.
He gets a bit loose, Pete.
He dances.
He gets up on the pool table.
He does. Mm. got big Coke bottle glasses. I don't know if
come
you can
on, Pete.
See.
Well, we won't be putting up with any of that, yes, Pete. We want you nice and straight.
So we'll be there. We'll be doing our show from 4 to 6, Jimmy Boy, live at San Remo Hotel, Monday, 15th of August.
Motel units attached, Thirsty Camel bottle shop, beer garden out the back, view of Phillip Island at the front.
And?
Got a bit of a sports bar attached to it. So, Bill, we will be down there front and centre for our van RV.
Exactly.
It is. If you're looking for a new caravan, go to someone who really knows their stuff. Our van RV, a family owned and operated for over 10 years. See ourvanrv.com.au.
So if you're doing nothing Monday, 15th of August afternoon, come down and see us.
Yeah, we need the tradies there. We need everyone there. Come along. We'll have some prizes to give away.
Absolutely.
Quiz.
They'll give us some prizes.
Some local celebrities.
Who?
Well, Sam Doherty's from that down there.
Is he? Is he coming?
Speak to Sammy.
Righto. Exactly.
I'll tell you what. San Remo Hotel, all roads lead to 15th of August, Monday afternoon, rush hour, here we come.
And if you want to nominate your town, because we're going to do four of these, so three more, head to Triple M Rush Hour on our socials and nominate your town or your pub. Because we want to go.
Vanilla slice from the beachside bakehouse.
Yeah, you can go in and see Steve or M.
They reckon it's the best in the district.
And their mascot, Bear.
Jim's Bait and Tackle.
Are you there?
I've been down there.
You've been there. What do you know about fishing? Well,
Jim's Bait and Tackle.
30 years they've been there.
Called.
You can buy knives, reels, or anything tackle.
She's a fishing village fat.
Oh, you've got no tackle.
Oh, don't worry. I'm on my way down there. I'll be hooking something.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
What do you reckon the bosses, they hear that? Mate, they're going to come in here and go, Bill, fair again. Finish up tonight.
Triple M. Jennifer what Coolidge, happened? AKA Stifler's mum.
Yes.
Has said, speaking to Variety, that the role she played in American Pie, we'll have a listen.
You know, I got a lot of play of being a MILF and I got a lot of sexual action from American Pie. Just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just talking about there were so many benefits to doing that movie. I mean, there were about like 200 people that I would have never had slept with.
Oh, crikey. 200. So, that's Jennifer speaking to Variety.
Yes, Jim.
I'm taking you back here to 2011.
That voice.
It was the first year we did this show. And Luke Tunnicliffe decided, because Jennifer was coming into the studio, it'd be fun to reenact the famous scene
with Finch.
With Finch and Stifler's mum, with Bill as Finch. So they got the scripts drawn up.
I wasn't.
And Jennifer was great.
She was great.
Said, oh,
she was up for it.
I'll have a go.
She was up for it.
So we sat there. Basically, the two of them were sitting on the couch between the two studios.
Yes.
And even before it started, Bill was unnerved.
Exactly.
By Jennifer.
I was.
There was something about Jennifer that Bill couldn't cope with.
No.
And then it got started, and what happened, Bartholomew, is in the top two or three funniest things I've ever been witness to.
Ah, Stifler's mum. Thank you for letting us have a great party. I think I've got it, Jim.
Oh, as if there were any alternative in the matter. Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm three sheets to the wind, ma'am.
He's so bad. gosh, I'm so happy for you. It takes the edge off, doesn't it? And where might your date be?
Ah, no date. Bathroom incident.
Pardon me?
Never mind. Have you anything to drink around here?
I believe the kegs are upstairs.
No, that's what the Cretans drink. Oh. I'm talking about alcohol, liquor, the good stuff.
All right. Yeah, I got some scotch.
Single malt.
Aged 18 years, the way I like it. Why don't you go grab the glasses? They're behind the bar.
I think I should.
Mr. Finch. Are you trying to seduce me?
Yes, I am. Ma'am?
Jesus. You know what? You're gonna get it, Bill.
Shit, Jim. What do I do now?
Hey, Jen, he's gone off in the holster. I've never seen that. Oh, my God.
That's embarrassing.
I tell you, that is as funny as anything I've ever, ever, ever heard and seen.
She had that. She had something about
no,
it.
No, Bill, you completely went to pieces.
I know. I didn't have a game.
No, you had no game.
No, nothing. You're right.
And she had plenty.
She had plenty of game. So I was a bit, what do you call it?
It's a bit like The Graduate.
Yes.
You know, Dustin Hoffman. It was a bit like that. Dustin just didn't know what to do or where to look. Mm. And Bill just completely was overwhelmed.
It was. Exactly.
So you were nowhere near number 201.
I think I might.
No.
You don't know that, Jim.
Oh, no, I do know that.
A couple of frothies and then I was a lot better.
No chance.
No, I was a lot better. I loosened up a bit.
Bill. What do you think of that, Bill?
You think of that, Bill?
That just gets me, Jim. Give me another hear that.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Bill?
Jim.
What was going through your head?
Yeah. I was trying to act. I'm not a great actor. I probably won't make too many movies, I wouldn't have thought.
No, don't reckon.
No. And then I could feel, you know when you feel the vibe from you get, Jim? Sometimes you're out for a drink and you know you're a chance.
Oh, no, Jim.
And other times.
That wasn't it.
Other times you know you're in the wrong swimming pool, like they're just too good or they're too mature or whatever it is. And that's where I was. I just felt like a little puppy dog. And I tried my hardest and then I just needed some help.
Honestly, Rabs, when Jennifer got to that line and then he's like, honestly, he just looked at me in these eyes were like dinner plates and he just went,
Jim.
Shit, Jim.
Well, you can see the video on our socials tonight, so make sure you look.
201
and Stifler's mum.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Under a buck, Jim. Do you understand that? See, there's a nice little double entendre.
Is that what? What, big pardon? Triple M. Is there a bigger rort going around
than
school shoes? Fat.
Good question.
Fair dinkum.
Mm-hmm.
They cost $150 minimum.
Yes.
And especially if you're like me, you got boys.
Yes.
They bloody last two terms at best. At best.
Yes, I'm with you, Jim.
Last year, pox-ridden school shoes cost me $600.
And?
$600. And then I get a text from the boy's mum the other day, George and Fred both need school shoes.
No, they don't.
And I'm quoting Rodney Rood here when I say no.
No.
No, 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 no. I've had enough of them, Bill.
Mate, they're only a couple of months and they're done.
They're not built to last.
No. Well, why can't you have a cheaper option of school shoes?
I don't know.
There seems to be only one make.
Barter and whatever AirPlay or whatever they're called.
And you're spot on. They're bloody dear.
Of course they're dear. That's why it's a rort.
Exactly.
They know everyone's got to buy them. You've got no choice. If you wear a uniform, you've got to have bloody school shoes.
Spot on.
And they're not built to last.
No.
In fact, I would argue they're built not to last, so you've got to keep replacing the bastards. Bill,
Jim, I'm with you. I like
steam
it.
Up I when like it comes to bloody school shoes.
You're tight ass.
So hence.
Hence.
133353. If you can name me a bigger rort than school shoes, I'll be surprised. We've got Tone on the line from Newport.
Hello, Tone.
Hello, boys. How are you? First time caller, long time listener.
Good on you, Tone.
What do you got for us?
Hey, a bottle of water at $3 for what, 500 mil? That's probably about $6-7 a litre. Dearer than petrol, silly, two or three times dearer than petrol.
You know what I don't.
Tell them a bloody sap.
Tone, you know what I only get about people in Melbourne that buy bottled water is our tap water is the best in the world.
Exactly.
It is magnificent.
Yeah. Mm.
Exactly.
They just fill up the bottles.
You can pour the bottled water into your kid's shoes and do a shoey. That's how much the water is.
I like it, Tone. Stay there. Bridge is in Stratford. Hello, Bridge.
Oh, hello. Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, Bridget.
That's good. Definitely think school shoes are a rot. But a bigger one, I think, are jeans these days.
Why?
They don't last. Oh. You used to get a pair of Levi's and you'd have to wear them in. They were like made of cardboard.
Yeah.
And these days I'm buying my husband a pair, every couple of months.
Why don't they make the old style
Levi's 501s.
When you go to, well, I still make 501s, but they're a bit sort of stretchy. Mm. They don't feel the same
they're
anymore.
Stretchy. That's right. You used to have to put them on and you could barely walk in them for a few days.
I think everyone's body's changed. Have they got a bit bigger.
Making them.
Maybe that's it.
We've got a bit bigger, Jim.
But
they've
got
to be stretchy.
Because the old days, yes, when we were all young,
yeah,
501s.
Oh, wow. Jeez. They tag you. Did you ever get tagged?
Yeah, you got tagged.
What's that?
Yeah, they ripped the tag off the back. Paul in. Come on, Rabs.
Wodonga and Albury.
Yes, Paulie.
Afternoon, boys.
Yes, please. What's more of a rort than school shoes?
Female sanitary products.
Oh.
Fair dinkum.
We wouldn't know that.
I wouldn't know that, Paul.
Well,
boys.
I've got five daughters.
Oh, crikey.
Including my wife. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's an absolute rot that the female population has been absolutely ripped off by the cost of sanitary products.
Well, wow. The girls here are agreeing. Yes. So we are 100% taking your word for it, Paulie, because I have no insight into it. But five daughters and your wife. Jeez, that's a lot of...
I actually got sent to buy some one day in the super gym. I had no idea what I was doing. I just walked down the alley and kept going. Nah, they were run out.
Oh, really?
Well, I didn't know what I was doing.
Sean Lang Warren, Shawnee.
Sean.
G'day. Oh.
What's going on, Sean? Sean.
Oh, my God.
What do you got for us, Shawnee boy?
I got a mate at work. He's just had his car in a bit of a scuffle. Anyway, got a quote for getting a headlight replaced and whatnot. $2,500 for one headlight.
No.
No.
What's he got, a Lamborghini?
Yeah.
No, Subaru WRX.
$2,500
Sounds steep to me.
$2,500
Your man would be able to fix it. Well, I know he does tyres.
Remember the old Enforcer?
Yes.
Took the Lambo in for a service.
That's right.
And got an invoice for $60,000
$62,000 for a service. But he reckons he got something.
I got some additions, he reckons. $60,000
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You shouldn't take the mickey out of people that can't talk properly. The dyslexia.
Our next guest has just called time on an outstanding career with the Cats and Power.
Over the back, it's a loose footy. Coming through half four now. Motlop gets around one, gets around another. He's kicked a goal.
Please welcome Stephen Motlop.
Yes, indeed. And what a star he was. Geelong Football Club, 135 games, 82 with Port Adelaide, and has retired immediately. I'm not sure why that is, but we'll ask him that. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you for having me. Cheers. Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. Yeah, 14 years, obviously 9 years at Geelong and 5 years at Port. So incredibly humbled.
Yeah, well done, mate. You say you retired immediately. What does that mean? Are you injured or... What?
That means I'm getting old, Bill.
Yes.
I just think the situation, with us probably not making... Oh, shit, my alarm's going off, sorry.
No, that's all right. and what have you got an alarm on for?
For this radio interview. I'm organised.
Jeez, that's unlike you, Mott.
just the situation at the end of the season with us not looking like we're going to make finals and the younger boys playing ahead of me. That was the situation, and I'll probably just call the time now. So,
Stevie, that smacks. Yep. Congratulations, by the way, on what has been a superb career. That smacks to me of a man that wants to get to the bar pretty quickly.
Yes, thirsty.
Yeah, I actually am pretty thirsty. I've got to get my body right though. The season starts up in Darwin in about 6 weeks, so not too much. Getting to the bar.
You're heading straight up and pulling. Now, who are we playing for up there? Wanderers still?
Yeah, our club's Wanderers, so I'll probably head back there. And my brother's just got to sign a coach to the Pints up there who just got elevated into the Premier League, so I've got a big decision to make.
Oh, who's that? Shannon?
Shannon, the older brother.
Yeah.
So, but I think I'll go back and play with all my cousins. I'm looking forward to it. Been waiting for it for 14 years now, so.
A bit more relaxed up there. You'll be able to razzle-dazzle without worrying about the defensive stuff as much.
Well, he didn't anyway.
Say, that's not much. Come on, mate. Billy, you're pressure forward, bloody high forward these days. You can't play unless you pressure. Oh. If you pressure, you don't have to tackle.
Have a listen to that. A magnificent highlight package. This is why it'd be a beautiful highlight package, this one of Stephen Motlop. But What's your most famous? Is it the showdown, what was it, 44 with about 20 seconds to go when you kicked the match-winning goal? Is that it? Or what other highlights do you love about yourself, Stephen?
My highlights have always just been playing in finals, I suppose, with my teammates, and you know that 10 minutes after you win a final and sitting around and having a beer and enjoying it, you know, you do it with your best mates, and that was always the best times. And I really loved going into training, especially when you had a good core group of players, and training was always really fun. So
prelims weren't your friend. Bloody hell, you can be lucky and unlucky in our game. You got to 5 of them.
I know, yeah. It would have been nice to win one of them, but I think a couple of them were, or 3 of them were nearly under a couple of goal or a couple of goals, so yep. They'll probably win one next year.
Yes.
Now that I'm gone. So I think I've got the record, bloody, with someone else. I was talking to Nathan Bassett about it. He's our forwards coach, and I've got the record with someone else for 5 prelims and no grand finals.
Well,
so.
Stevie, Bill reckons he and Stevie J are joined at the hip, tight. Every time Stevie's name comes up, Bill gives it the Stevie, Stevie! And he gets a little mini stiffy and all
I
the
do,
rest of it.
Yes.
And then he had to pick his top 5 ever players for Geelong.
No, not ever. The last 20 years.
Last 20 years.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Well, I'll read them out to you, Stephen Motlop, and you tell me, all right?
Yep.
I had Gaz Jr. on top. Joel Selwood at 2.
Yep.
Corey Enright, as you mentioned before, at number 3 I had, because 2 best and fairest in premiership years,
I think,
Jim.
You had Scarlow higher than...
Scarlow at 4 I had.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had Jimmy Bartell at 5.
Yep.
What
no Hawkey?
No Hawkey, no Paul Chapman.
Joel Corey?
No Joel Corey, no Stevie J. It's bloody hard.
And Stevie Motlop, Stevie J has completely cracked it and won't speak to Bill anymore.
That's not like Stevie to hold grudges.
No.
Trust me, I've played with him for, 6 years. So no, he's a good man, Stevie. We got along really well, and he was a great player and definitely someone who helped shape my career, that's for sure.
You've been a very, very good player. They loved you at the Cats, and I'm sure they love you over there at Port Adelaide. And well done to you. I look forward to the highlight reel. It'd go on and on. Wouldn't be as good as Gary Abbott Sr.'s or myself's, but it'll be still all right, Mott. So well done, mate. All the best in the future.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Well done, mate.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
That's what stuffs Bill, Nath. He can't understand
what
happens.
Give me some strategicness of it.
Back by popular demand, which pretty much is every week, is the Idiot File. It's either an idiot song, which it was last week, to The Only Way Is Up.
Yes.
And I think what you'll realise when you listen to these next 8 minutes is it hasn't gone up.
Yes, it has.
It's in fact gone down. That's what's happened. So, well, online, Rabs, you can get 8 minutes.
That's it. Yeah, 8 minutes on the podcast.
How many here?
So this one's just a tick over 4.5.
And it'll be old stuff, so be nothing.
I don't reckon.
There'll be nothing new, Jim, I'm
telling
you.
I think it's all from this week.
No.
And that's what we love about it, Rabs, myself. It's also what the family love about it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Poor old Billy gets bullied.
No, you don't. This
Billy
is
bullied.
All your own stuff that we just replayed. That's not bullying.
Yes, it is.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to take you to the Fair Trials.
The what?
Fair Trials Association.
He's already started there. Next idiot file.
The next one. That's what he does. While we're playing this one, he presents stuff for the next one.
Big Cam, he played for Longwood, Jim, on Saturday in the Carlton draft thing. And Moons, of course, lining up for goal. And just have a listen. Someone else thought it was someone else. So Longwood kicked 9 goals, 3:57, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Got defeated by Violet Town. Violet Town.
Violet Town, yes. Violent Town.
Violet Town.
You wouldn't want to live there.
No, Violet.
I've just bought a joint, Mum. Oh, really? Where have you bought it? Violent Town.
Chief Jim was forced to admit that he used a solarium. It was alleged on the Friday Brag artist, was Oscar, I think, that rang in and said that his mum used to look after him with the double sizzling.
Oh, no.
200 as captain, Scott Pendlebury. Well done, Snot.
Scont.
Scont, sorry.
Yep.
200 as captain.
Snot. Snot Pendlebury.
Snot Pendlebury.
Yeah.
Right, here we go, Jim.
Yep.
And it's a Thesaurus joke, Jim. People send me in now.
Oh, God.
Thesaurus jokes. Oh. You ready? Oh, mate, my biggest decision of my life.
Oh, no.
I've got to do my due diligence and all that crap.
No, I'm telling you, it's no good at all. Birmingham.
Opening ceremony last night. Charles and Camilla arrived in an Aston Martin jeep.
Aston.
Yeah, that's what it's yes. called. Talking to Angus Brayshaw.
Angus.
Now, Gussie. Now, I don't know what the pills were the vet gave him, but, gee, they taste kind of
peppermintly.
What? They taste like peppermint.
Peppermintly. Oh, no. Jimmy's in Berwick. Hello, Jim.
Jim Dillon.
Fellas, how are we?
What did you just call him?
G'day, Jim. How are you? Because there's a young Australian, Jim. He is an ace. His name is Oscar Piastri.
Don't say anything. Have another go.
Raps. He's from Brighton. Yeah, he's a good boy.
Have another go.
Oscar Piastri.
That's better.
Piastri. There you go. Yes. Just further news on the Oscar Piastri. Our man that was going to be.
Careful what's he
I know. Did I tell you about Oscar Piastri?
Oh, no.
I don't think Piastri.
Piastri.
Lego is turning 90. How do South Australians pronounce Lego? But there are 16 medals in total for Australian swimmers on the penultimate, which is the second last, Jim.
Penultimate
means the second last night, okay?
No, I don't think there's a T in there, Bill.
There is a
penultimate. Yeah.
There is a T in there, but.
Yeah. We haven't had a Carlton draft box.
I know, I see that.
Well, when's that coming?
It'll come, Jim, just right. to those that are wait.
All right, 133353, if you want to be a part.
Those who wait, get it.
Oh, no.
Well, we want them up.
No, what is an indication of what we're Bill? About to deal with.
Do you know what the term is?
That is it.
Mm-mm. All good things?
Come to those who are big. What do you get when your bones get a bit bristle? What's that called?
A bit what? A bit bristle.
Bristle. Yeah, when you don't drink enough milk and stuff. What's that called, Jim?
What do you think?
I don't know.
Osteopubis,
that's it.
Not pubis. No. Osteopubis. Can we get out of you what it is?
Osteoporous.
Big pun.
Osteoporous causes bones to become weak and brittle, Jim. That's it.
No.
Osteoporous.
Osteo what?
Porios. Anyway, we move on.
Porosis, Bill. It's not even a hard one.
Yeah, I've been writing this book, Bill, on footy's tongue on footy's tongue twisters, and that's the new edition.
What's wrong? I like when Jay-Z comes in.
Taken a couple of Panadol, popped a couple of Panadol. That's the latest entry.
Right.
As you can see, I'm still having trouble with it, Razzy.
Got to get back out there.
Well, you say it quickly. Popped a couple of Panadol.
Popped a couple of Panadol. Oh, Jay-Z.
When we do these shows on a Friday, Bartholomew, I'm on site either at Marvel or here at the MCG.
Yes.
Jace has been putting our production together for as long as I've been here, pretty much. Pisses himself. Jace. All I do is look up and his head's just nodding up and down. Going, how can one bloke be that stupid?
Well, he'd know. I tell you what, I love having Jay-Z in, but we're going to do a podcast, Jay-Z and I. Yeah, what'd be called? Popped a couple of Panadol. We're going to call it that.
It'd be called A Couple of Idiots File.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. Get ready to laugh.
Any chance of the joke being funny?
No.
That's truly horrific.
This is Billy's joke on Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session.
You can still have fun. You're allowed to smile.
Yeah, but I want rabbits to hit the right button. If plastic's a joke that's poor, it talks to the integrity of our show.
Oh.
All right?
Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. The seven dwarfs, Jim, we love them, okay?
Oh, my God.
They all got in the bath together. They're all very, you know, like each other and everything. So they all got in the bath together and everyone felt happy. So Happy got out of the bath.
No, they just don't get better. Like you think you're going to get a joke that'll be better and then they just don't get better.
Happy got out
of the bath. I know what happened. This isn't funny. Well, he isn't laughing.
Well, old he doesn't haircut. Either. There's something
old
wrong
haircut
with
100 head. Over oh, here. Yeah. He's not laughing.
He's lost his haircut. He's lost his hair and his sense of humour too. I might go with Sarah and go and work with Sarah.
We'll see if she laughs.
She laughs
doesn't.
At everything I say.
I bet she doesn't. It's the only place it was heading.
No, that's just a
never to bring us again.
I bet you it'll get good rave reviews.
No.
Yeah. How have I lost my haircut and my hair?
And well, you know sense. What I mean.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Correct button. Pressed by rabbit. Finally.
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session.
The best of JB and Billy.
You might get taken off here if you don't lift.
And you can catch the boys anytime by downloading the Listener app.
How do you spell it?
LISTNR.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Experience one of the oldest rivalries in world rugby, Wallabies versus All Blacks. The Bledisloe Cup is back in Melbourne for the first time since 2010, September 15 at Marvel Stadium. Tickets from Ticketmaster. Don't miss out.